depends. Don't be a passive investor when it comes to startups, at least. If you want to be a passive investor, startups is not for you. So that's what is my take on that.
So hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. So today we're joined by Prateek of Ivy Growth Associates, and he's the founder of Ivy Growth Associates. So hi, Prateek. So could you first share, I saw a recent LinkedIn post of yours and you talked about Zepto and that. So could you just share a bit on your take on Zepto and this whole 10-minute delivery space? What do you see as the future for the space, and who do you think will win?
So, hi, Ruhi. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to connect with you. And yeah, so when we talk about Zepto or any delivery app, to be honest, that helps in a way that in need, it is one of the best apps to have, right? And Zepto has been driven by two young founders who have been brilliantly identifying that space, and probably, they competed with a lot of giants in the industry, which is where they broke, something that you need to do differently was done by these founders, both Adit and Kalvya, right? I mean, both of them made sure that how do we differentiate from the existing players? And this space, whether you ask me or not, it's going to increase. So when you talk about global markets also, there are a lot of apps that do 15-minute quick delivery. And these people even beat that and they did 10-minute delivery. So, that's how it is important. One. Two, to do it in India, it was a challenging task because, when you talk about cities like Bangalore, Delhi, Mumbai, you need to have several operators in your platform to make that 10-minute delivery happen. So I have a very positive view about these founders and specifically the space of delivery, because logistics is something that matters to everyone. And the more that we are evolving as people, sometimes we feel that from office while we are driving back to home, we need to have that before we reach our home, So that is why this is a view that I carry.
I think that was a pretty interesting view and definitely some food for thought there. And so my next question is, so now you started as a founding associate, or you've founded this thing called Ivy Growth Associates. So how did you build up momentum in a fundraise as a VC fund, seeing as though you must have done it during COVID, I guess? So how did you build up that momentum? And could you just share a bit on that front as well? I think the audience would definitely be interested to know how you did that.
Absolutely. So Ruhi, if you ask me, I belong to a community of chartered accountant, right? And if you ask me about my peers, it was all throughout my life, I was seeing chartered accountants doing either practice or finding jobs or becoming investment bankers. I really wanted to do something different. And, because CAs are generally people whom people can share things with openly. That's where I thought I have that little edge, because being a chartered accountant, I'll understand the finance, I'll understand due diligence, I'll understand valuations. And then I'll also have people to talk to transparently. So that gave me a kick to start Ivy Growth. And then I was joined by my own guru, Mehul Shah, and my two best buddies, Sharad and Rachit. So four of us, came up with a vision to do something that a community needed, and specifically in two-tier cities, because we all come from Surat. So generally, when you talk about second-tier city, you generally don't have that drive or kick. So to make or educate people, it was important. When we started our journey, all we did was, made sure that our principles are strong and we don't compromise principles for no matter how much money we get. So we made sure that we don't act like the brokers. Generally, all the networks in the country were broker driven. They were talking about memberships. They were talking about charging a fee. And then we thought, how do we disrupt this? So we thought, have a model which is purely transparent to everyone who's investing, and we win together, we lose together, because anyway, the asset class that we were picking was startups, which has a risk element to it. So we said, any penny that we invest to a company, at least some portion of that penny should belong to IV Growth as a team, and then the rest will be coming from the investors. That was our theme. We made sure there are no hidden charges. We made sure that our platform did exactly what we speak about. And that is how we've built it over last 3-4 years. We've invested in over 72 companies. We're fairly doing very good. The only challenge we faced earlier was, you know, a lot of people used to think we were too young, right? And plus, we're not known into the industry as well. So there was a challenge when it came to people trusting us. But as and when we started our journey, as we started our, you know, reaching out, people enjoyed the journey. People saw that we were focused enough to not only just talk about investments, but also talk about exits, draft the HSA, get the valuation to the number that we feel are comfortable. You know, so all of those factors got us into the driving seat. And then we also announced India's, now I call it Bharat's biggest startup summit, called, you know, 21x72, which led to a disruption in the industry where I called people from all across globe to Surat. And when I say I mean all four of us put our, you know, things to control. We left behind everything. And to do such an event in Surat for 2 back-to-back years was a task that people appreciated. And then we thought, you know, this will be our IP event, and every June, people would love to come to Surat. So that's about our journey, and that is what we did.
That's really quite cool that you're so like tied back to your hometown of Surat, and you put on this big event and a lot of people came. And so my question to you is, so you said something about tier 2 cities. So what is your take on building startups in tier 2 cities and then identifying those winners and opportunities within the tier 2 cities? Like, how do you go about doing that is my question to you.
So Ruhi, I'll tell you why I said tier 2 and why not, you know, why I differentiated tier 1 and tier 2. It's because of the surroundings. The cities that are Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore already have the surroundings and, you know, have a lot of potential that was there. But tier 2 or tier 3 cities needed that potential to come in because of the surroundings, because of the experience, because of the, you know, the systems in the cities. And that's where I felt or we felt as a team that, you know, why not Surat? Why not tier 2 cities? So a lot of events are happening across tier 2 now. Indore, Nagpur, for example, even in Banaras, they have a huge, in fact, a good incubation system in Banaras, Ahmedabad. So people are focusing on tier 2. The only thing that was probably lacking earlier was that bit of experience. Now it is coming there. A lot of government initiatives have helped. A lot of support from the experienced guys has helped. And what was important was to handhold these startups at the early phase. So that happened because of the incubation centers getting to the tier 2 space and driving, you know, the growth phase. Trust me when I say this, times are not far ahead when tier 2 cities startups are going to be in the next big, you know, numbers when it comes to profitable startups. We don't call unicorns, we call proficons, which is profitable unicorns. So that's going to be the differentiator. And trust me, no one can know that better from tier 2 or tier 3, tier three cities, because, you know, Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore, yes, people do save, but tier 2 and tier 3 save more. So they are very concerned about the bottom line as well. And in the decades to come, we will see a huge jump when it comes to startups from these regions.
Okay, so that was a pretty good take on like what you think about tier 2 cities and the startups in the region and how they can become proficons. So my next question is more like, so what does it take to get started in angel investing, to get started into investing into companies, and how do you identify those companies that will be winners, and like what does it take to like get into the industry and like break in or like do something meaningful in the industry?
See, honestly, no one can know whether it is going to be a winner or a loser. It's about the intuition. But first thing that we need to do is start. You know, you have a lot of plans. Yeah, that, you know, we will start, we will invest this much. We have this pool of money and all. But I've seen with, you know, 75-80% of the people, they still hesitate to start because they feel that it's going to go, you know, it's going to go waste. That investment that we make is not going to make any returns. So only thing that I say is, you know, if that is the risk you carry, that is the risk you carry every day, right? Even in your businesses that you run, there's a risk that it may shut down. Even in your life that you live, there is a risk that you know, something will happen. So if the risk element is taken aside, all you need to do is execute whatever you're thinking. So the first step is execution. The second is finding the right spot of your investment. For example, if you're a tech guy and have been in tech industries, start identifying the tech companies for investments. Don't do D2C or don't go to, you know, some field which is not your core strength. So start with your core strength. And then once you're in the journey, you know, once you're in that journey of investments and you've made a couple of investments because you found the people right or you found the processes right or you believed in the technology and that is why you invested. You know, once you're there in the system, you will start attending a lot of events. You will start getting into a lot of groups. You will start interacting with more people who are there in the industry. That's where your vision will widen. And once that vision widens or, you know, you get the wisdom from a lot of people, you find other core areas for investments as well. But the first thing you need to do is execute. And that's how you will find winners. Because a lot of times, herd mentality is happening. You know, if Ruhi is investing, Pratik is investing. If Pratik is investing, XYZ is investing. You need to come out of that zone. Let's not, you know, follow the process of someone. Just because, you know, someone has invested and made money doesn't mean that you will invest and made money. Because once you invest, what is also important is to exit, right? People forget that exit is also important. So it's important to start with your strengths. Then you find that ecosystem. And once you're in the ecosystem, trust me, that's how we as investors also got better. And you may fail. You know, that's the best part about investing is you need to understand that you will fail. Not all your investments are going to reap, you know, give you returns of wonderful numbers. It's good to say that you've got a, you know, got to hear also from people that you've got 100x returns and 50x returns. But ask them about their failures and you will know that out of 100 investments, maybe 80 were bad, but the other 20 made returns for them. So all you need to do is start with something that doesn't make you lose your sleep and then gradually keep growing in the ecosystem, keep attending events. Don't be a passive investor when it comes to startups at least. If you want to be a passive investor, startups is not for you. So that's what is my take on that.
Yeah, so I think just to wrap it up for the audience, so execution, go to your core strength and attend events. Those were the kind of three things that you touched on. So my next question to you is, so what's your contrarian take, if at all, on angel investing or VC? Like, since you've been in the industry for a bit, so like, what could you say about the industry that's could be considered like slightly contrarian?
Slightly?
Contrarian, like against the norm or like a bit different view.
See, the only thing that I believe when it comes to angel investments is, I have covered that in the last bit as well, is the problem of herd mentality or the rush towards joining the masses. Earlier, if you asked me 2015 and 2016, there were handpick of investors in this market, right? And people used to invest in gold, real estate, equity markets. But now everyone wants to invest in startups without even knowing what is the pros and cons of the startup. So the first solution or first identification, which is important is to understand is it is a risky class asset, right? You cannot just go in and put in your money and tomorrow you can go out, because whatever you put in, even the capital wipes off here. There is no way to even book losses and get your money, at least some money back. So you need to understand and be someone who's active. Also, if you do not want to invest, please do not invest, right? A lot of people think that there is big money in startups. You know, Government of India has announced National Startup Day, so we all should invest only there. I'm sorry, but we need to understand that normal FDs also give you returns. Normal bonds also gives you returns. So be mindful of how much of your percentage of money that you want to invest in a risky class asset. And lastly, whether venture capital is the only future that you have, I again beg to differ. That's one of the most important, because the businesses have evolved through technology and innovation. And that is why a lot of startups will be more prominent than normal natural businesses. But that's not only the place where you can mint money or make money. So these are my food for thought when it comes to these industries.
Yeah, I agree with your take that startup is a risky asset class. So my last question to you, and then we'll call it a day, is, so you are really great at storytelling on LinkedIn. So how does one crack that storytelling, and how does one start like putting out stories, sharing founders' journeys and whatnot, whatever they want to share? Like, how does one start that?
I think your question has the answer. You need to start. I was not like this. If you go back, read my post back in 2011, 2012. My posts were a very stupid, simple. Even if I read them today, I laugh, you know, that what kind of, you know, post do I used to write? But it's again, you evolve by day, you evolve by stories, and you need to put yourself in the place of the customer and think, if it was my story, what would I have spoken? You know, so that is important. Anything that you do has to have two things. One, the truth. And second, make it your own story. Don't create drama around it, or don't talk about things that is not relevant, and don't lie. I mean, if these two things, and principally if you do these things correct, you will do wonders. But it's not a one day job. You need to do it every day, no matter. So I have seen a lot of people putting or posting on LinkedIn and getting no results for 1 month, and they coming to me and asking me, sir, no one is even liking my post, or ma'am, you know, sir, nothing is happening. Why should I continue with LinkedIn? So all I say is, you know, you need to be on track. And if you are chasing people to like your post, then this is not a platform for you. Anywhere for that matter, not just LinkedIn. Do what is right because you like it, not because you want someone else to like it. So once that is very clear, and if you want to do it, start doing it from today, and probably in a while, because content creators are also increasing in numbers, who knows that you become the content creators for tomorrow. So that's my take.
I think that was some solid parting advice. So do share how the audience can get in touch with you, how they can connect with you, how they can pitch, or like whatever you want to share. Now's your stage.
So Ruhi, I always say, and probably my LinkedIn also says, I'm the approachable guy. You can write me on LinkedIn. I'll be there for you. You can touch base with me on TalkMate. You have my email IDs and mobile numbers live on LinkedIn. I have nothing to hide. So you can reach out the way you want to, and I'll be there. Expect replies in not more than 24 hours. My phone is clean always, and I make sure I reply to almost everyone that I feel needs support, help, or probably from whom I will learn. Because trust me, that's the journey that I live, and I would love to speak to all of you who, you know, and gain knowledge from you.
That's amazing, and truly appreciate your transparency and like coming on the podcast today and sharing all those great insights with the audience. So yeah, it was an absolute pleasure and an honor to host you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Ruhi. Thank you so much, and stay connected.
So if you're listening to this podcast right now, I have an open opportunity to reach this audience. So if you want to reach college students and freshers interested in startups and venture capital, and just in terms of the demographics, the age of 18 to 22 is the highest age demographic in India, and US are the two largest country demographics
of listeners for this podcast, email me at bizpodruhi@gmail.com. So thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode, and hope you've learned something new.